It is true on PT Talker. We've had lots of guests over the years highlighting that we can find physical therapists in a lot of places, the typical ones, orthopedics, neuro, even nursing homes. But there are places where we don't expect necessarily to find a physical therapist, and our guest today is going to fill you in on a place where she's doing some very important work in the world of pediatric cancer research. Join us today for this episode of PT Talker.
This is PT Talker, presented by Advantage Medical. The aim of this podcast is to expose physical therapists to unique and innovative ideas to help grow their business. Each broadcast will introduce you to new concepts that will save you time, provide a better patient outcome, or lower your cost. And now, the host of PT Talker, Jeff Worrell.
Well, we're back today with Kiri Ness, a PhD physical therapist. She is at the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital as an associate member of the faculty. Kiri, welcome to PT Talker today.
Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you. Now, you refer to yourself as one of those geeky researchers, and of course we love geeky researchers because, you know, my estimation of what you're doing is that you're providing the data, the relevant research-based information that the physical therapists out there listening to this need in order to do their job in the real world. So congratulations to that. But you've had quite a bit of success. Give me just a real quick background on how you got to where you are today.
Sure. So I graduated from PT school in 1983 and worked as a PT until about 1992. Mm-hmm. And then I started working on advanced degrees because I thought I wanted to be a faculty member. And I did become a faculty member at the University of Minnesota in the PT school. While I was there, I worked as a clinical faculty in the hospital and found that I felt like there wasn't any research out there to support what we did with the kids who had cancer, who were in the hospital. And so I went on to get a PhD in epidemiology. And upon finishing that PhD, I got a job working in pediatric epidemiology and then followed my mentor to St. Jude Children's Research Hospital in 2006. Where I opened a human performance lab to measure function in children with cancer and children who've survived cancer and in adolescents and young adults who were treated for cancer as children.
Yeah. So that's a great history. And obviously you are very focused on the pediatric cancer. And I think when we were talking before the show, I asked you what has been the biggest revelation that you have found in all the research. I think you said you've written hundreds of papers and used the data from the Human Performance Lab, but what is the thing that has most struck you that you have found that we can talk about this morning?
Well, I think relevant to the PT provider population, one of the things that I found in one of my studies is that children who survive brain tumors when they become young adults in their 20s and 30s have human performance measures or physical fitness measures that are more similar to people in the seventh decade of their life in their 60s and 70s, and especially really poor cardiac function and diminished muscle strength, which probably will have a large impact on the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you attribute that to? Just as a layperson, I'm saying there, was that from the treatment or is that from the cancer? What's the cause?
Well, it's probably the same cause that causes muscle weakness and poor fitness in the rest of the population, and that is a sedentary lifestyle. But children with cancer sort of get ingrained into a sedentary lifestyle because they're sick while they're being treated, and so for, you know, up to a year when they're getting radiation for their brain tumor and chemotherapy for their brain tumor, and if they have a neurological deficit related to their brain tumor, they're sitting around doing nothing.
I see.
So then
I feel like where we're heading is, you as a physical therapist, is there something that could be done, should be done to help those patients avoid that outcome?
Right. So during treatment, one of the things that we're going to be embarking on here is an exercise intervention for children when they're on therapy for their brain tumors. And so we'll be providing them with a high-intensity aerobic training during their radiation course of treatment sometime in the next year that study's going to get underway, and we're hoping that that helps.
Now, would it be typical that a young patient that is receiving chemo and radiation, do they have the energy? Is this practical that a kid is going to want to get out there and do exercise with you guys?
Well, you know that exercise makes everybody feel better, even people who are, undergoing chemotherapy and radiation. And in other populations of children with cancer, in particular leukemia, who used to get radiation, they don't anymore so much, but the kids with leukemia, we've successfully implemented an exercise intervention in that population, and we start their exercise intervention 7 days after their original cancer diagnosis.
So you've already got some data then to show that this is valuable and it has a positive outcome.
Right. Well, at least that it's acceptable and that the kids report feeling better.
And can do it. Okay. Yeah. All right. So how would you then, let's say you do the study, then over on the real world side, what would you expect to happen with your research, with the data?
Once we find out that exercise works?
Yeah, if we follow the premise that it does, then...
Yeah, if exercise works, then I would assume that the standard of care in physical therapy would be to get right in there when the kids are undergoing radiation and do a very intense, and by intense I mean having kids with their heart rates between 60 and 80% of their mm-hmm. predicted maximum for 30 minutes,
yeah.
5 days a week, having a fairly intense exercise intervention during therapy so that they don't get as debilitated as they might otherwise.
And right now, that is not intuitive. That is not the norm. It's not something that routinely happens.
Because, people think these kids are sick.
Sick and, should be in bed and, resting.
And importantly for the physical therapy audience is that as a PT, you and I, we're uniquely equipped to be able to implement such an intervention because we know what to do with the other things that are going on.
Mm-hmm.
Like if somebody has hemiplegia, we know how to help somebody exercise who has hemiplegia.
Mm-hmm.
Or, somebody might have some neurocognitive deficit. We know how to work with people who have neurocognitive deficits during therapy so that we can help them exercise. And I think that that's why it's important for it to be done in the PT or the rehab setting.
Mm-hmm. So you finish your research in a year, and you write a paper. How long do you think it takes for this kind of information to disseminate out into the other cancer treatment centers that might be across the country? I mean, what's how practical is it that we would see this change occur in cancer treatment centers at the pediatric level in, 20 months or 24 months?
Well, I don't know that we'll be done with the research in 20 or 24 months because
yep.
childhood cancer is very rare, and so we have to wait until we accrue enough study participants to be able to publish results.
Okay.
But fortunately, in pediatric cancer, there is a group called the Children's Oncology Group, which is in the United States, Canada, and some of the Australian cancer centers, which is a collaborative group of researchers who work together to to treat cancer. And if we can disseminate the information through the Children's Oncology Group, then it gets out there very fast because it's a small group of researchers.
I see. So everyone's pretty connected.
Well, at least the physician researchers are. I don't think that the PT researchers are as connected. And so, it all depends on what the relationship is between the physician researcher at a given institution and the PT that takes care of their the kids with cancer
yeah.
at that same institution.
Yeah. Just generally speaking, what's your assessment of how important the role of the physical therapist in treating a pediatric cancer just overall? Is that an area that maybe listeners who are young and getting started that could expect to be respected in that role and play a significant role in the total treatment and care of that patient?
Right. I think that PT plays a big role in the treatment of children with cancer because over 80% of kids diagnosed with cancer live to become adults.
And that's great news.
It's important because they have treatment I mean, not only brain tumor, kids with brain tumors, but kids with other kinds of, they have treatment that impacts their physical function, and the best person to provide an intervention for that physical function impairment is a PT. And so I think that the field is growing. It's not big yet, but it's growing, and hopefully we'll be able to provide really good evidence to show that the interventions that we do are effective in helping these kids achieve good function.
Yes. And do you feel like your non-physical therapy colleagues are respectful of the role that you play? And do you feel like
Absolutely.
Generally? Okay. So it is recognized that the physical therapist by the other healthcare providers plays an important role.
Right, and I think that it's becoming increasingly recognized. Last year when I was at the Children's Oncology Group meeting presenting some data on the leukemia population, one of the physicians said, well, where do I find a physical therapist? So
yeah.
I think that it's on us to educate the pediatric oncologist where in your system is this therapist.
And so just quickly in the few minutes that we have remaining, if there is a listener out there, is there some special programs or special training that a therapist might have to acquire in order to be eligible to work, for example, at St. Jude's in treating these pediatric cancer patients?
Specialization for oncology in physical therapy is currently being developed by the oncology section of the American Physical Therapy Association, but it's not ready yet. People who want to get additional education to be better equipped to work in pediatric oncology could take continuing ed that's put on by the APTA or by any good organization. And also could, if they want to just gain knowledge, they could go to cureforkids.org, which is a website that has lots of free educational stuff on it about pediatric oncology.
Perfect, perfect. Now, my last question, final question here just before we run out of time. The obvious question for me, it seems to me, although you've said 80% of your pediatric cancer patients are living into adulthood, there is that 20% sadness is how I'll put it. How do you deal with that as a physical therapist? And, you know, someone out there thinking about it, you probably don't see that when you're dealing with a hip replacement patient. So what advice can you give there?
Well, I think that sometimes people think that they're going to feel more sad when they work in a pediatric setting and they have children dying, and that's typical in any inpatient, any acute care type pediatric setting. It's not specific to cancer, but I think that physical therapists play a role in palliative care and support for the family at the end of life, and I feel great when I can contribute there. But again, our institution is very tearful, so it's just a different place.
And it's the reality of what you're doing, and it sounds to me like it you can manage that.
Yeah, it's not an issue.
Okay. All right. Well, you've been listening to Dr. Kiri Ness, who is, she's on the associate member of the faculty at St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee. Probably one of the more famous institutions you could possibly work for, Kiri, is St. Jude's. That's got to be an amazing place to work.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Best place I've ever been.
Yeah, all right, great. So now if anyone has any questions or any additional follow-up with Kiri that you'd like to do, just send me an email to feedback@pttalker.com. I want to thank you, Kiri, for joining us today. I've really enjoyed the conversation we've had. I hope it helps someone out there to learn a little bit more about pediatric physical therapy.
Thank you.
Okay, so all my listeners out there who have been listening today, hope you found this helpful and that you'll be sure to pass on the word about the free subscription to PT Talker at pttalker.com. And certainly we want to thank all of our previous guests who have helped us out over the 2 years. We're now well into our third year of providing free information and expertise, all with the goal of helping you help someone get well today. So this is Jeff Worrell saying so long for now, and thanks for listening.
PT Talker is a presentation of Advantage Medical, bringing you business news and ideas for therapists. Join us each week for new concepts to help you grow your rehabilitation business. To listen to previous episodes, visit us on the web at pttalker.com or on iTunes.